Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's first significant show of executive power, pardoning or commuting the sentences of over 1,500 people in connection with the January 6th riot. ABC's chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl says it was an extensive order.
They went even beyond what the advocates for those prisoners, those people in prison for attacking the Capitol, expected. Every single person, including those that attacked police officers with flagpoles, baseball bats, two-by-fours.
Other day one executive orders included declaring an emergency at the southern border and pulling the U.S. out of the World Health Organization. A rare sight in parts of the South, snow. Areas of the region under blizzard warnings for the first time ever. Both of Houston's major airports closed. Nearly 2,000 flights canceled nationwide. Severe winds continuing today in Southern California, increasing the risk of high fire danger. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Legal challenges regarding bills signed into law in the final days of former Governor Scott Walker's time in office will soon be heard by the state Supreme Court. Attorney General Josh Call is asking the court to rule on the so-called lame duck laws, which removed power from Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Call and gave the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee more control over the filing of civil lawsuits and distribution of settlement funding. A previous related ruling found the committee had been overstepping its authority. Wisconsin residents will have an easier way to file their state taxes for free this year. According to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, residents will be able to use the IRS Direct File system for their state taxes after integrating the program with the WisTax state tax return platform. Taxpayers will be able to use the software to automatically import their W-2 and 1099s into the system. The individual tax filing season will begin on January 27th, and residents can check their eligibility and register through the system on the IRS Direct File website. The School District of Shell Lake Board of Education has approved two resolutions to propose an operational referendum. At a special meeting, the board approved one resolution to exceed the revenue cap beginning next school year and one resolution providing for a referendum election to do so. The proposed referendum will stretch 4 years, beginning with roughly $500,000 more next year and growing to over $1.7 million more in the 2028-2029 school year. The funding will cover programming, maintenance, and staff. The Superior Police Department has announced the arrest of a suspect in connection to a shooting incident on Tower Avenue. According to law enforcement authorities, officers responded to the 3800 block of Tower Avenue after receiving reports of a single gunshot in the area. When they arrived at the scene, they found a victim with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound to his arm, and he was taken to the hospital for treatment. He allegedly told police the shooter was an acquaintance from the building, who was soon after located and arrested. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks head to the Big Easy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are headed to New Orleans to play the Pelicans tomorrow night. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. Milwaukee's won 7 of the last 8 games. After a 4-game home stretch, they now head out with 5 of the next 6 games on the road. In college hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers play UCLA tonight in Los Angeles. Wisconsin now ranked 18th in the nation after beating USC over the weekend. Marquette has dropped in the AP Top 25 from 7th to 10th. Tonight they face Seton Hall. Head coach Shaka Smart on how to help Cameron Jones get going.
I need to spend some time with him and rub his temples because, you know, listen, this Cam Jones, man, this guy's out of this world. But he's also a human being. He's, you know, feeling a lot of pressure, I would imagine. He hasn't verbalized that, and he's been great in practice, and he's been an A-plus teammate. But, man, there's just a lot expected of him on his shoulders. And I think right now when he rises up from outside, he's feeling the weight of some of that.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This bitter, brutal cold snap ends today. It's cold this morning, but we are going to climb into the single digits as we head into this afternoon. Temperatures will climb tonight with a little off and on light snow. Overnight tonight into tomorrow could get a half inch to an inch, and then warming into the 20s by tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, 22 below.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation.
Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by author of The Meet the Parents Story, Laura Enright, and Meet the Parents creator, Greg Liana. Then herbalist Mason Hutchinson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
Surviving the cold.
Is that all, man? Did you watch the inauguration?
I refrained.
I had to choose between watching the inauguration and going and sitting outside in the cold. I decided to go out and sit in the cold.
Watching paint dry. Anyway, you know who that is by now. That's Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, it's amazing. You drive east in a morning like this, and it's clear sky, except out over the lake, there's this dense cloud of fog based on the fact that the temperature is minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit and the water is 33 degrees or whatever it is. And it's an amazing phenomena. But this is old time cold. This is winter.
You know, Sandy, I have to say that I didn't even notice the cold this morning. You know,
you just dashed into the car.
Well, you know, I watched something last night, man, there was a transfer of power last night. 47th president of the United States was sworn in. It's a new world order.
Yeah.
So to speak. And so I didn't see the morning.
Well, I listened to a whole bunch of it, actually. I didn't ignore it. I did listen to a whole bunch of it.
The morning festivities?
Yeah, I listened to the morning process live, and I've watched clips of the rest of it because the quote, festivities, close quote, continued well into the early evening. It was a day filled with things that I guess could be called news. Most of it was stuff that had been projected. But... yeah, wow. I mean, clearly, this was a bottled up bunch of activities that we knew were going to happen on day one, and a whole bunch of things did happen on day one or appear to be happening, it's all going to play out. But and the exercise of the pardon power by both presidents, it was like a battle of it was like OK Corral with the pardons.
Well, let's begin there. We've got an awful lot of ground to cover. 855-752-4842 is the number. So, outgoing President Joe Biden pardoned family members and others.
Well, he pardoned a whole bunch of government officials too, people who apparently might be in the sights of the guns, the prosecutorial guns of the incoming administration, because there were threats of essentially vindictive or at least counter actions and legal actions against people who were on the January 6th committee in Congress, Anthony Fauci, a number of people who were in government who apparently had exercised their power in ways that Donald Trump found troublesome. Miley, General Miley, Milley. So, you know, I, for one...
Would you support the pardons for those people?
Well, my problem is with pardons generally. I was, for 2 years of my life, responsible for pardons for the governor of the state of Wisconsin as his legal counsel. And at the time, I wondered about the power of the pardon because we were exercising pardon power. Then much of it we would do with the instruction or advice from the then state parole board. And, you know, we were not exercising the pardon power in a way that was at all corrupt. But we could have, you know, the power is absolutely unilateral. There is no review process for it. There's no court looking over the shoulder of a president or no court looking over the shoulder of a governor as to who they pardon and why they pardon them. It's just absolute. And so it's something that's really subject to the potential for corrupt conduct or at least outlandish conduct. It hasn't been exercised very, very much up until more modern days, although I'm sure if I went and decided to write a book about the pardon power and its conduct over the life of the presidency of the United States since the 1700s, we would find episodes where we would scratch our head and say, that looks like a pretty sketchy kind of a pardon to grant. But yesterday's pardons were without precedent in terms of their breadth on both sides of the aisle. You know, the outgoing president with a bunch of preemptive pardons and the incoming president pardoning, for instance, these 1,500 or 1,600 people who were involved in January 6th, many of whom were pled guilty, many of whom were found guilty by juries, many of whom were the trials were conducted by Trump-appointed judges. I mean, it wasn't a question of misjustice, other than the fact that that's the way Donald, the president, decided to characterize them. The outgoing president found it necessary, he said, to pardon a bunch of people because he wanted to protect them from essentially the harassment of unjustified prosecutions, which, however, would cost them an enormous amount of money to defend themselves against. And, you know, the fact is that Adam Kunzinger and Liz Cheney, for instance, have immunity for their conduct associated, you know, on the floor of Congress and their conduct as congresspeople carrying out the job of congressmen. They have an absolute immunity to it. So the notion that Trump would prosecute them could only be to harass them and to cost them money because there's no potential that they could be convicted of any crime associated with their conduct in office, in their official conduct. And so, you know, yesterday was a day that I think historians will write about. I think it will result in a congressional analysis of the power of the pardon and whether it can be constrained by Congress. Most legal experts believe that it is something that is embedded implicitly or explicitly in the Constitution.
So, Sandy, before you go any further down the road, I would like to ask you, you know, Liz Cheney, Adam Kunzinger, and people who work in the government, Fauci and those kind of people, the fact that they would have to be protected for doing their jobs,
yeah,
to me is just outrageous.
Well, Kunzinger said he didn't want the pardon because he agreed with me that it was, you know, that the chance of him getting prosecuted for it was nil because, or the chance of getting convicted at least was nil because of the very legal principles that I describe. But
they didn't want to take the risk.
Yeah, well, I can understand, however, someone like Anthony Fauci, someone else whose means are not unlimited and their capacity to defend themselves, even if it's a slam dunk defense, means that they have to spend a lot of money and a lot of their time and energy, psychic energy, defending themselves against suits that would be harassment. Now, you know, Donald Trump claims that the suits against him were harassment that he shouldn't have been required to defend himself against. I think the proof of that is in the analysis by each one of us as to what the difference in the conduct was that,
Sandy,
resulted in action.
I would say, as an American citizen, I would be outraged that people who are doing a service for this nation, and those are the people that we're talking about, would have to be protected. It's never been the case before. And so if I understand that in this instance, I'm not saying all of the people Biden pardoned, because I didn't see the list, and family members and all that, but when we're talking about people who sat on panels that the government supported, the fact that they have to be pardoned is outlandish.
Well, it is outlandish. And like I said, you know, the incoming president talked about de-weaponizing the prosecutorial powers of the government on the one hand, and on the other hand was talking about chasing after these people who he said committed crimes while they were in office, and needed to be prosecuted, like Anthony Fauci and others who he explicitly has talked about chasing legally. And I think that was the whole reason for the pardons being granted, was the fact that these were people who were declared to be in the target. You know, he also pardoned staff members on that January 6th committee, because the view was that they could chase after anybody involved with that committee process. Again, though, like I said, the operation of government, the people who are within the operation of government are generally protected, particularly the sitting Congress members are protected from.
Operative word, generally.
Yeah, well, they should be.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
But the fact is that who knows in today's world, because we're going to have what we're going to see in this administration, I'm quite sure, is a continual test of the legal powers of the power of the presidency. And the only constraint on that power of the presidency will be court actions and the Supreme Court ultimately. And then the question will be, will the president honor the decision of the Supreme Court? Because as the incoming president has himself quoted, Andrew Jackson famously once said, well, the Supreme Court has spoken, now let them enforce it, okay? And the problem with that is that the Supreme Court doesn't have any enforcement mechanism. It doesn't have a sheriff's department it can send out to enforce its orders. It relies on whom? It relies on the president and the executive power to enforce the actions that are decided, or the decisions that are decided by the Supreme Court.
So let me ask you, pardoning power that clearly was written in and for, you know, centuries, and so in certain instances, you know, presidents have done that on very small, much smaller scales. Obama did, I think, 2,000. They said Biden's was up to 8,000 or more.
Well, and Obama's 2,000 was a record at the time.
Right.
And so, you know, the pardon power is derived from the power of the king, actually. It's just a vestige of the power of the monarch to exercise the power of pardoning and forgiving those who might have been accused by the crown or the government of committing a crime. And as I said, I think it's a very doubtful, from the standpoint of a democracy, it's a very doubtful power to put into the hands of an individual.
All right, 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Just all sorts of things to talk about. Hamas still in control of Gaza. All the different executive orders. We're going to cover all those things on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes, The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and changing of the guard took place on yesterday. Got a lot to talk about. Go to the phone lines quickly. Gary from Sussex, you say what?
I say it's a great day for America, for about 61% of the people in this country.
And where do you, first off, where do you get 61%, man? What kind of math CNN are you doing?
CNN was talking this morning, and I watched CNN, and they were talking about that they don't understand why, but 61% of the people think that America is going to do well, and they're looking forward to. So 61% of the people think, I'm not saying 61% of the people voted for him, but 61% of the people think America is going to do well in the future.
Based on what?
Donald Trump.
Okay. All right.
Their poll that they had. I mean, I'm just telling you what I saw.
Okay, I don't. Okay, go ahead. They can say anything. Okay, go ahead.
As far as you guys, I agree 100% what Sandy was saying this morning about this pardon stuff. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that they're doing preventive or pardons and pardoning 1,500 of these people that were, you know, storming the Capitol. I don't believe that every one of those people should have been pardoned. I think if you hit a cop in Wisconsin, if you assault a police officer, it's a mandatory 10 years in prison. You go punch a cop. So to me, if you hit a cop, you know, you should be spending time in prison. 1,500 of those people do not belong in prison. Some of these people are
all of them weren't in prison, Gary. That, you know, 1,500 weren't in prison because all of them didn't hit cops.
Right. And I understand it. But to spend a year or 6 months in prison, lose their jobs at home and
Gary,
stuff like that.
The ones who did pleaded or they were found guilty. Okay. So, you know, the people, many of them who said, yes, I did it, I'm guilty. You know, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, sure. If they're in there and they got their face.
Well, they pled guilty, Gary.
Right. But should they go to jail?
Well, actually, Gary, let me just cut this off. 1,500 people didn't go to jail. 1,500 people got pardoned, but some of them probably got probation. Maybe many of them.
Most of them. I don't know.
I don't know how many of them spent any time in jail. There were a number that did, but you know, we should probably get facts before we discuss all of it. But I happen to have a problem generally with the pardon power, and whether it was exercised correctly or not. I have a problem with governors and presidents having this power. Unfortunately, it's sort of embedded in our system and in our Constitution, and so we end up having this thing that can happen, and all we can do is shake our head. But there's no process we can go through to rectify whatever it is that a president does in terms of exercising his pardon power.
We can change that.
Well, we
Congress
can't,
can change.
No,
that.
Congress can't change it. The pardon power probably is not congressionally based. It's probably constitutionally based. So it can't just be changed by the Congress.
Yeah, but you can change it. You can make amendments to the Constitution.
Well, you can do that. You can do that.
Yeah, we should. And we should define, you can't go out there and start pardoning people for crimes they haven't even done. That's ridiculous. You got to be found guilty, and then you can get pardoned. You cannot pardon somebody for something that, well, you know, like the Biden crime family, all his brothers and cousins. And
well, now,
whoever.
Wait. Now, Gary, now, you know, we can... You've decided to adopt this.
Thank you very much for the call.
The crime family vernacular for the Bidens. We don't know whether the Biden relatives have committed any crimes or not. They've never been convicted of them. And other than Hunter Biden, the son, none of them have been charged with it. And they have been investigated. So, you know, I'm not sure that the adjectives we use for folks necessarily defines them in a way that we can believe.
You know, Sandy, so many, you know, so many of these executive orders that Donald Trump signed yesterday, you know, unilaterally, some things he can get away with, other things he can't. And they have to be what, all filtered out?
Well,
basically,
the power of the president, president does have a bunch of powers. He does have the power to declare emergencies. Now, the declaration of an emergency could be reversed by Congress. The power of the president with respect to tariffs, the power of the president with respect to international affairs, these are fairly broad powers that reside within the presidency. The power of the president to fire people. There are certain people where he clearly has the power to fire them or terminate their employment. There are others that where his action might not be clearly defined at all, and which can only be tested by the courts. So, I have not had a chance to, carefully look at all of these executive actions, but some of them undoubtedly are testing the edge of the envelope with respect to the power of the presidency, and would have to be reversed by a court.
Sandy, this is a time that the rules don't apply. The new president has shown the rule is merely a suggestion and is willing to exact a power that he has never been extended before.
You're reading a text message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've said this on earlier shows. I do expect that this president is going to pursuant to not just Project 2025. Which basically instructs the president to do this, but based on his own conduct so far yesterday, is going to exercise the power of the president well beyond the norm that it has been exercised in the past, And the only constraint on it will be court action.
855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Up next, Trump signs two orders.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to share their thoughts on the agency's natural resource management plans. According to a press release, the Wisconsin Conservation Congress will be accepting public input regarding statewide conservation issues through February 24th. Each resident will be allowed to submit two proposals, which will then be reviewed by a committee of delegates. Resident submissions must have an effect on the entire state, and the goals must be practical, reasonable, and achievable. Wisconsin State Supreme Court candidate Judge Susan Crawford visited western Wisconsin this weekend for campaign stops. The Chippewa Falls native visited Rice Lake on Saturday to speak with voters about her background and the importance of the April Supreme Court election. Judge Crawford is running against former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel, and the election will determine whether the court remains in liberal control or returns to conservative control, with issues like abortion access and the governor's veto power at stake. A Barron County man was arrested on Monday after being accused of assaulting his mother, leaving her seriously injured. According to the Cumberland Police Department, officers responded to the scene after a man requested a welfare check for his wife at around 9:30 a.m., saying he was on the phone with his wife when he heard screaming and the call disconnected. When officers arrived, the woman told them her son had assaulted her and she was taken to the hospital with critical injuries. Devin Baldwin was arrested and formal charges are pending. A Barron County man was found guilty of hit and run involving death by a jury on Thursday following a two-day trial. The jury found 32-year-old Tyler Baker guilty of fleeing the scene after colliding with 37-year-old Charles Key on Highway M in August of 2023. Key was flown from the scene of the crash for treatment, but later died at the hospital from the injuries he sustained. Baker was charged nearly 1 year ago and is facing up to 25 years in prison and a fine of up to $100,000 when sentenced following the conviction. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, you know it's a slow holiday weekend at the box office when a movie that was released 5 weeks ago is number one. Mufasa, The Lion King, has been ranked one or two since its release on December 20th. And this past weekend, the film brought in almost $12,000 to lead the way at the domestic box office. Mufasa barely edged out the number two film over the weekend, Sony Pictures' One of Them Days, which reviewed incredibly well and brought in $11.6 million last weekend. The comedy about two girls trying to make rent, starring Kiki Palmer and SZA, is a surprise hit. Wolfman finished in third place in its opening weekend with just under 11 million and mediocre reviews. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 actually moved up a spot from number 5 last week to finish in fourth with about $8.5 million, and it was Den of Thieves 2, which opened at number 1 last week but had a huge drop-off and finished with about $6.5 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This bitter, brutal cold snap ends today. It's cold this morning, but we are going to climb into the single digits as we head into this afternoon. Temperatures will climb tonight with a little off and on light snow. Overnight tonight into tomorrow could get a half inch to an inch, and then warming into the 20s by tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, 21 below.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our friend Luke Mathers is in with another edition of What's Grinding His Gears, and we'll take a look at what's worse, grocery or clothes shopping. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It came along. Everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything."
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Governor Tony Evers will give the annual State of the State address this Wednesday, January 22nd at 7 p.m. Tune in to Civic Media for special coverage of the speech, the Republican legislative response and analysis you won't find anywhere else. Sandy, before we go to the phone lines and talk about the dismantling of equity policies, I just want to say President Biden is gone. And I think that before he should be totally trashed, the man did some good things. And you and I remember having these conversations about COVID, where it was, what was going on. He presided over a horrific time in the history of this nation that he deserves some respect for. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I think I think we shouldn't forget what it is that when he came into the presidency, what he inherited, which was a real difficult situation. You know, the incoming president spent a good portion of his talk yesterday trying to describe the situation he was inheriting as filled with problems. And it wasn't an accurate portrayal of the current situation. The current situation is not filled with problems. The economy is humming. There's all kinds of good news. The numbers of people presenting at the border is way, way down, far off of the high levels that were occurring as a result of post-pandemic migration.
There is no energy crisis.
Yeah, there is no energy crisis today. So the situation today is far better and far different than the situation that Joe Biden inherited. And, you know, he navigated through it. We didn't have a recession. We recovered better than any of the other major countries in the world from the pandemic, came out of it. We recovered from the post-pandemic inflation better and faster than any of the other major nations. Our economy recovered better and faster. So, you know, I think there's obviously much that was positively done during these 4 years.
All right, let's go to Jack from Racine. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I think nobody would disagree that Trump is doing things that no other president has done, both in terms of taking power over things and also in terms of gathering personal money. And, we really have moved farther from a democracy, and he continues to do things, and our government changes that direction for totalitarianism, dictatorship, authoritarianism. You know, one example is that both Hitler and Mussolini had people who beat people up, who opposed them, and used the muscle in many ways. But when they got in power, they pardoned those people. And Trump has just followed the authoritarian playbook one more time as we see our country moving farther and farther away from democracy and toward totalitarianism. And I want to speak to the people who don't like that, who believe in democracy. And Joe Biden left office with a call to us, and he said, it's up to us that we have to do anything. You know, going to our coffee groups and talking about it, it's just not, and around home or your friend, just doesn't cut it. Something needs to be done, whether it's even the small amount of sending $10 to someplace like Forward Democracy Forward, which is already suing the federal government for some of the outlandish things that Trump has done against the Constitution, or getting personally involved in politics and helping the right people get elected, use the democracy that we still have in power. So the challenge is with us as to which way it's going. It's going the wrong way right now, and I'm hoping people will finally see this, and those who have sat in the sidelines jump in and get involved to save our democracy.
Hey, Jack, I think is well said.
Yeah, and incidentally, one of the things you mentioned was the wealth aggrandizement of the incoming administration. And I will point out something that I guess we could laugh about, but it's not really laughable. The incoming president issued last week what's called a meme coin, a cryptocurrency meme coin, meaning that it's his face. Notion is that this virtual coin has his face on it. It's called a $Trump coin. And this meme coin is then purchased by those who want to purchase it. Apparently, the Trump organization owns 80% of the meme coins. But so far, the purchase price of those meme coins means that the Trump organization holds about $6 billion worth of these Trump meme coins. Not only did the incoming president issue meme coins, but then Melania, his wife, issued some meme coin cryptocurrency as well. And her cryptocurrency has already developed a value of many millions of dollars. Not only did she issue a cryptocurrency meme coin, but the minister who presided at the inauguration yesterday himself issued a meme coin cryptocurrency, and he said that he hopes to draw the benefit of the purchase of that meme coin for himself personally as well. So we have people doing this like openly and notoriously. And what do we think? The First Lady also signed an agreement with Amazon, obviously one of the biggest companies in the United States and in the world. And she signed a $40 million contract with Amazon a couple of days ago to give the rights for a movie that might be done about her. But $40 million by the biggest company in the United States to the First Lady. All of these things are outlandish. I mean, those things happen after presidencies. The Obamas made book arrangements after their presidency. They were book arrangements, however, and they weren't with a company like Amazon that has all kinds of ongoing interest before the federal government during the term of the office. So I think we all need to be alert and awake. And we should worry about this extent to which people are going to personally aggrandize wealth. Here we have the richest man in the world who's exercising all kinds of power in the government, whose wealth has already...
Elon Musk.
...has already gone up many-fold. He spent $250 million on the campaign, but as far as that is concerned, that's peanuts compared to the extent to which his wealth has grown since the Donald Trump election. I mean, who won that election? Well, Elon Musk has won a great deal in this process. He's become the most powerful non-cabinet member part of this federal government, maybe the most powerful person in the government.
Yeah, he's the safest.
As well as being the wealthiest man in the world.
Jack, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Jim from Brookfield. Good morning to you, Jim. Thank you for the call. You say what?
I say good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. I just wanted to talk about how good the Republicans are. Unfortunately, I'm controlling the message. I want to circle back to what you and Sandy were saying earlier about what the condition of the country that Trump is inheriting. The economy is humming. Inflation is down. There is no oil crisis, and crime is down. You know, and the border is now under control post-pandemic. Now, you just watch. I predict that Trump's going to do and his cronies will do everything they can to take credit for this. He's already painted a very dark picture, you know, yesterday in his inauguration speech. They will continue that for a bit. But then soon the switch will be flipped And all this Donald Trump is going to take credit for. And they'll say, you know what, you know, there is no real energy crisis. The borders are under control. You know, your pocketbook is doing better, which it probably won't because of a lot of things they've already installed. But they will tell you that, and they'll force you to believe that things are great under Donald Trump. And all we have to do is look back to when he was running for re-election. He kept saying over and over again that he created the world's best economy. Well, people forget he inherited a very good economy from Barack Obama. He ran it into the ground. But yet all you hear about is he, Donald Trump, personally created the world's best economy. And I think we're going to see that world's best economy time, you know, part two is coming up. And he'll take credit for the foundations that his predecessors put in place.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much for the call. As Trump said, I was saved by God to make America great again. Anyway, let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, I got a couple of things, Earl. I called a while, and then maybe about a month or so ago, and said I was going to turn my flags upside down, which I officially did today. And one of your mega callers called in and said, don't do that. That's very disrespectful to veterans. Well, I just want to make a clarification that the inverted or upside down flag is not a sign of disrespect. It is a distress signal from naval traditions used to show grave danger to life or property. It is not a sign of disrespect. It's a sign of distress. So I just wanted to clarify that, and I hope more people will follow suit with me. And I just want to leave you with a Confucius Cindy saying, a man who has no greatness in himself does not see the greatness in others.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Mike, you're up next.
Good morning. Great one, by the way, Confucius, Cindy. I like that very much.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, and this is really parallel with Jack's call as well. You know, Martin Luther King, in his letter from the Birmingham jail, talked about two things. One of them was he was challenging, you know, Central America, if you will, to get off the apathy couch and get to work. And I think that's what Jack was talking about in his call is, you know, our nation is at risk. Like we have not seen, certainly in our lifetimes, probably in American history. We have a case where self-servants are dominating public office. We're seeing grifting on steroids. Things that we've never thought were possible are almost daily routine now. It's up to the American people. Public action, this is the only thing. And I think Martin Luther King would say, you have to take this on directly, have a direct conversation, be diligent in the messaging, and say, you know, this is crazy. We no longer have equal interpretation of laws. We have a place where certain men and certainly the elites have different rules than the rest of us. But what in the world? How is that, you know, synergistic with the United States of America? We've seen stolen Supreme Court seats. That's not fair. It's not right. And again, even the midstream Americans, you know, that are not political. This is when the apathy needs to be set aside, and our nation must become our top priority. You know, we've seen poison pills and healthcare legislation that was absolutely mandated by the people. And we get at best a half-assed healthcare bill.
So Mike, thank you very much for the call. As I stated before, you know, the last break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the dismantling of the equity policies in this nation. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And James Hess says, Biden's pardoning of Dr. Fauci explains everything about how Biden handled COVID. 855-752-4842. Tuesday, that means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Things are different than they were in Daddy's day. But I still believe what makes a man really has a chance. You've got something, or you'll fall for anything.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just drives, he's going bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCL, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
When I was 14, I was falling fast for a blue-eyed girl in my homeroom class. Trying to find the courage to ask her out was like trying to get off from a water spout. What she would have said, I can't say. I never did ask, but she moved away. But I learned something from my blue-eyed girl. Sink or swim, you gotta give it a whirl.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays, my co-host Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, what is the music?
Well, the music today, the first one was about, it was called 100 Years, but it's about, we've only got a limited number of years left, each one of us. We got to try and do something about it, do something within it. And all of these are basically philosophical songs about standing up for what you believe in, getting things accomplished during your lifetime, or the options to that, at least. And you'll see from the songs, it's all about that kind of
stuff. So, Sandy, before we get into DEI discussion, tech executives take center stage in Washington, D.C. Let's talk about what that means.
Well, the tech executives is another way of saying the richest people in the world, because the tech industry are the top capital, the top businesses in the world in terms of their market capitalization and the wealth of the individual. So, Amazon, Bezos, it's a tech industry, but it's something else.
Right.
It's a logistics business, and Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook guy, and Elon Musk. I mean, these are all names we all understand and know because they are the richest people. But these richest people have become the most influential people in our government. And if they weren't before, they're trying to elbow their way into that process. And this appears to be a government where wealth is a primary ingredient to the ticket to a front row seat, and not only a front row seat, but influence.
So what are the inherent dangers?
Well, I mean, we talked about Russia being an oligarchy, and everyone seems to recognize when you use the term oligarchy, everyone seems to recognize the danger of putting influence into the hands of people simply because they're wealthy and what it does to a country in terms of the bedrock principles of democracy. And here we see it happening before our very eyes, and because apparently it's happening with our eyes open, we aren't talking about it, but we should, because wealth, this kind of extreme wealth, should not be the ticket to influence, and it should not be the ticket to political power, and yet it seems to be. And we need to be on guard about it, because what it means is that these people are in a position to exercise their self-interest in a way that will be self-aggrandizing, and we're watching it happen.
So Congress and can't control a pretty clear Congress. These people are almost independent of Congress.
Well, I mean, they are in a way. I mean, you know, what did Elon Musk say before the inauguration? He said, look, if people in the Senate don't vote to approve...
We'll run somebody against you.
The nominations, the appointments to the cabinet, we'll run people against you. So, yeah, they're using their money as a political weapon. And they're saying, basically, look, if you don't do our bidding... We'll find someone who will.
Sandy, I don't think people really, well, I shouldn't say that. There's some of us who understand that the inherent danger of what we've entered into, the Twilight Zone. We've entered into that because there had been talk about this, Sandy, happening, but now it's here.
Well, the only thing that encourages me is that it's happening in broad daylight, so we can now see it, and this whole concept of money in politics isn't just a concept that we talk about, that actually it's happening in the dark on K Street where the lobbyists reside and where they have political action committees, and all this stuff seems to happen at midnight in the dark. This is happening in bright sunlight, okay? And the American public is seeing it happen.
Do you think they understand it?
Well, they ought to. You know, this is maybe the wake-up call that everyone needs, but I'm afraid it's not waking us up. There are people who are applauding it.
They were cheering Elon Musk. Well, Elon Musk is walking around with his arms raised like he just knocked out the heavyweight champion.
Well, the friends I talk to who are conservative are very wishfully talking about this Doge committee and all the good things that it's going to accomplish in terms of streamlining this government that's out of control. And I keep saying, well, make sure your government taxes enough so that it can be solvent, because it isn't just about cutting things. That always sobers them up a little bit. But the fact is that this guy who's got all this influence, now we're going to see how he's going to exercise that influence in terms of things that get cut from the government. And it's going to be things that are advantageous. I mean, one of the first things they're doing is cutting regulations. Okay, that's not cutting expenditures. That's cutting the things that get in the way of amassing more power and money.
Sandy, I heard Trump say one of the executive orders was to make sure that the IRS doesn't have the manpower necessary to go after you. Who was he talking about? He wasn't talking about me.
He wasn't talking about people who get paychecks and pay their taxes automatically with their paycheck withholdings. No, he's talking about people who have enough money that they're paying estimates and they're self-reporting. And, you know, that's the whole world of people that are worried about audits.
Sandy, with all of the things that are going on, why is that one of the number one executive orders?
And freezing all regulation. Pending getting control of the government, it said. You know, I think the American public ought to see what's happening in daylight, and that's what they ought to worry about.
All right. 855-752-4842. As promised, we're going to talk about, you know, the dismantling of the DEI in this nation next on the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, when did Republicans embrace rule by executive order? We dive in with John Nichols from the Cap Times and Nation Magazine. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson.
For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's first major act of his second term, pardons for 1,500 people in connection with the January 6th riot. Asked about pardoning and commuting sentences for those who had attacked law enforcement, he told reporters,
"I've been in jail for a long time already. I see murderers in this country get 2 years, 1 year, and maybe no time. So they've already been in jail for a long time. These people have been destroyed."
He also signed executive orders declaring an emergency at the southern border and taking the U.S. out of the World Health Organization. Dangerous cold impacting tens of millions of people. Snow is falling in areas of the country not used to snow, like New Orleans and parts of Texas. More than 2,000 flights have been canceled today. Another day of dangerous fire conditions as winds pick up in Southern California, and the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas holds, but Israel's top generals resigned, citing failures related to the October 7th attack. This is ABC News.
I'm James.